Welcome back at WNST, Towns of Baltimore and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into another week of football conversation here, and the Ravens certainly giving us something to talk about. Luke Jones joins us now. He'll be in Owings Mills all week long, getting you ready for the Cincinnati Bengals and the first place Baltimore Ravens. Luke, we've seen some impressive victories around here through the years. They win a lot of football games around here, as Joe Flacco once said, but Sunday, boy, they showed us something, didn't they, against the former San Diego Superchargers, now in Los Angeles.
There's no question about it. And I think for the first time all season, dare I say, and I get it, the defense gave up 7 points to the Denver Broncos, who, by the way, have, I think, shown themselves to not be nearly the outfit we thought they might be back in week four after a 3-0 start. But we've talked so much about this defense and its struggles and its times where they've played really well for a quarter or two. I mean, we saw that late in the Kansas City game. We've seen examples where they've played really well for three quarters, like they did against the Raiders in week one, and then completely fell apart in the fourth quarter. But I'll remind you, Nestor, this is Los Angeles Chargers team.
I said it first. I got you involved in that, you know. So
that the Browns scored 42 points against last week and lost. So the Ravens scoring 34 points on Sunday. Look, Lamar Jackson in the offense, I thought it was a good game. I thought it was more than anything relief that they were able to run the ball against a terrible run defense. I mean, if they couldn't run the ball on Sunday, then you got some issues. But the big question, and I don't think anyone could have possibly seen this coming, was, are they going to be able to stop Justin Herbert and this Chargers offense that has really taken off over the last few weeks? And not only did they contain them, not only did they stop them, they suffocated, they smothered them. And that was as impressive of a defensive performance as we've seen in recent history. I think you just look at how the Ravens have looked, how the Chargers have looked. And I think a lot of people were expecting 34-31, 35-32, a shootout, a high scoring game. I think more people would have certainly expected that, but the Ravens to go out there and hold the Chargers to 6 points, boy, it's another layer of excitement to add to this football team after its 0-1 start, after all the injuries in the preseason. You know, we've seen the passing game take off over these last few weeks, and Lamar Jackson doing things through the air that so many people wouldn't have dreamed he could do a few years ago. And he's doing it, and he's doing it consistently. But the story on Sunday, it was not the running game. It was not Lamar Jackson. It was this defense playing outstanding football. And I think it was interesting to note, over the course of the week, Wink Martindale had alluded to the possibility of a couple changes. Well, one, and this wasn't a change per se, but Deshaun Elliott returning it at safety. He has a sack. He has an interception, plays well. And then the other change, an old friend who we'd seen a couple cameos earlier in the season, but Josh Bynes gets the start next to Patrick Queen. So much discussion about the inside linebackers. I wrote about it at BaltimorePositive.com this week. Lots of people were talking about the struggles of both Queen and Malik Harrison, but they insert Josh Bynes at middle linebacker, and they have Queen slide over to weak side, and it stabilized. Not to say that Josh Bynes looked like Ray Lewis out there. Not to say Deshaun Elliott was Ed Reed, although he certainly made a couple splash plays that would remind you of things Ed Reed did. But just a couple changes and then a much steadier, more consistent, ferocious effort over 60 minutes against, I think, some people who haven't necessarily seen Justin Herbert a whole lot might come away from this and say, okay, this kid's overrated. This kid's really, really good. I've seen him a number of times going back to being thrown into the fire in week two last year. He's outstanding. And I think he's going to be another guy that we're going to be talking about kind of in that same atmosphere as Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, the great young quarterbacks in the game. I think Justin Herbert's going to be right there, but the Ravens made him look bad on Sunday. And it's really a testament to Wink Martindale's defense and just something else now to get excited about this team. Not that you're going to shut everyone down and hold them to 6 points week after week, but the ability to do that against that offense that scored 47 points against the Browns the week before. And okay, maybe the Browns have gone in the tank because the Cardinals beat them pretty badly on Sunday as well. But you have to be really encouraged by what we saw from the defense. And oh yeah, they still scored 34 points. And that Ravens offense that we've come to expect greatness out of over the last few years. They played a really good football game. It's just the defense was the exclamation point on Sunday as far as doing something that I don't think anyone really expected them to do to that degree anyway.
Luke Jones joining us now. You can catch him all week long. All of our Wise conversations brought to you by our friends at Wise Markets. I'm trying to get back on the mend here. My back's been a mess, Luke, and I was, I had to cancel or postpone on Friday. I think we're going to try to do it this week up at Nick's Grandstand Grill and do the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. But being on the shelf, I get to watch pregame football. And I got my clicker out. My little thumb's working the buttons. Rex Ryan, bet the over, no defense being played. I see all along, shootout. It's going to be 35-31, 42-40, whatever. I think our feeling about the Ravens defense changed with Marcus Peters. And to some degree, we look for signs of life, right? Like, how is this possible? Where is it going to be? We talked about personnel changes. And you talk about Josh Bynes and what a guy that's studied playbooks here now over, three defensive coordinators, over pretty much two eras of football going back to almost a decade ago now with him, that guys like him, McPhee, they go back to these guys, they wind up bringing them back. And like 2 years ago when they brought him back the last time with LJ Ford, it's plug and play. And you have something that's competent there. It may not be Ray Lewis in its prime, but it's competent and someone that knows the playbook. And quite frankly, probably somewhere back there, Ozzie and Eric and George Kokinas and Joe Ortiz saying, "Hey, we like that kid when he was in Auburn a decade ago. Look, we still like him, and we like him a third time around. And you and I like Josh, too. We know kind of there's a character part of having him around, too. He's a real good guy."
There really is. There's the character part. And let's be clear, that doesn't mean Patrick Queen and Lee Harrison don't have character. But you're talking about a veteran player. And the other part, and we talked about this a lot 2 years ago. Keep in mind, the first month of the season, it was Patrick Owosso and Kenny Young. And they just,
man, you're mentioning names. It feels like a long time ago, right?
It wasn't, though. It wasn't. And remember, that was coming off the heels of CJ Mosley getting paid a boatload of money by the Jets. No one's suggesting, especially a couple years later, that the Ravens were wise not to do that. And we've seen how that's hasn't worked out for the Jets. And it's worked out for CJ's wallet, but it hasn't necessarily been great for him. But there was always that challenge of how do you replace that? And we saw in October of 2019, they bring in Josh Bynes. They bring in LJ Ford. These guys weren't Ray Lewis and Bart Scott in their prime, but they elevated the floor. I use the term over and over. They slowed the heartbeat that position where it just felt like guys were out of position, trying to make too many plays, in the sense of playing, not playing within yourself, not trusting your teammates, taking poor angles to the ball. And of course, last year they draft Queen. They draft Malik Harrison in the third round. But you mentioned his name. They had LJ Fort there. And LJ Fort, even though Queen was the first round pick and we saw him make lots of splash plays, LJ Fort was their best, most consistent, steadiest inside linebacker last year. And at all of these injuries we've talked about, there was one guy that didn't get necessarily a lot of attention because I think everyone just assumed and hoped. And let's face it, this will be something we talk about in a big picture sense that's a concern. But everyone thought, okay, Queen and Harrison going into year two, full off season. Yeah, they'll miss LJ Ford, but I don't think this is going to be as devastating as some of their other injuries. Well, a quarter plus into the season, it was clear they missed LJ Ford. So you insert Josh Bynes back into the lineup, albeit he's 2 years older. So I think that's something we need to keep in mind here at moving forward. But again, raises the floor of that position, makes the plays he's supposed to make, going to take good angles. We saw him have six tackles on Sunday, had a tackle for a loss, had a pass breakup. He's on the older side, so that's something that you are concerned about and you still want to see and frankly need to see improvement from Queen and Harrison because you're still going to need those guys. But what did he do? He slowed the heartbeat at that position. And it wasn't just that, as I mentioned, with Deshaun Elliott being back. And they played really well defensively at every level. But it is interesting sometimes that, as Wink Martindale talked about and alluded to over the course of the week, you change up your look a little bit. And guys look around and they start saying, hey, we all need to step it up here. I mean, Patrick Queen and Malik Harrison weren't the only guys missing tackles the first five games of the season. Not by a long shot. They weren't the only guys giving up plays in coverage by a long shot. So you do make a couple changes. You get Deshaun Elliott back. And I think in the same way that we've talked about Marcus Peters, I mean, you're talking about a three-time Pro Bowl corner, so I'm not comparing Deshaun Elliott as a player. Clearly, he hasn't played nearly as much in the league. But he is one of those guys that has a little bit of a chip on his shoulder, a guy that plays with some passion in a way that reminds you a little bit of Marcus Peters. So maybe they missed him a little more than you think, not just him playing safety and not a knock on Brandon Stevens filling in for him, but a guy who's a little more vocal, a guy who's got a little more of that swagger on the field that we've known the Ravens defense to know, you know, to have for 25 years now here in Baltimore. So maybe getting him back in that capacity was a little bit of an emotional lift as well. But, you know, any way you slice it, it's not one guy. I mean, that was a tremendous defensive effort across the board. And as I said, it excites you in terms of, all right, their defense going into week six was 24th in yards allowed, middle of the pack in points per game. You know, the red zone defense and third down defense had been good, but other areas not so good. They've been very inconsistent. But to put together that kind of 60 minutes against the Chargers offense that I still think is really, really good, I mean, they kicked their ass. And that's exciting because you know you're going to be playing some good teams, especially as we get on the other side of the bye and knowing what lies ahead in the month of December.
We thought this was the toughest game left, right? I mean, you know, we looked at it and we were like, well, they're probably the best team we're going to see. Cincinnati, Minnesota, Miami, Chicago, you know, go through these games, right? They look to be the best team we're going to see before Thanksgiving to some degree. And to see the defense wake up against a unit like that, and I say wake up because you and I have been at this a while. There used to be a stat about, you know, San Diego coming east of the Mississippi and playing 1 o'clock kickoffs and all of that. I don't put as much stock in that stuff as gamblers would or trends or whatever. But that's a serious thing, getting out of bed and playing at 10 o'clock in the morning. And they certainly, to me, given the pajamas they were wearing, look like the San Diego Chargers, L.A. Chargers, whatever they are. They look like a team that was a West Coast team coming East Coast to play, and it's 10 o'clock in the morning. And that over the course of the history of the game, that's been a very, very resounding statistic for West Coast teams. And I felt that way two drives in where they looked asleep. And I'm like, that's when I said, they're going to get their ass kicked today. And they did, because you don't see teams wake up from that.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly something to it. Are there times where I feel like that narrative is, and I'm not saying it's a narrative implies that it's not true. I mean, there's definitely meat to that. Are there times where I feel that can be overblown? I think that's a psychological thing that teams can give into. And the same way that the Ravens were playing on a short week. Think about it. They played a Monday night game, very emotional game that came down from three scores. Went into overtime. So the Ravens were playing on a short week as well. So either of those teams, and maybe this speaks to experienced head coach, more experienced quarterback, some key veterans on both sides of the ball that you lean into in these types of situations in terms of prep, in terms of getting your bodies right on a shortened week where you have
to get ready.
Also
a young team, too, that hasn't been at this, right? I mean, a lot of the guys that beat us weren't a couple years ago, not on this team anymore, right?
Yeah, I mean, some of them are left, but I mean, the quarterback and you have a rookie head coach. And look, I mean, Brandon Staley, I think there are things to like about him, but he's a rookie head coach. And
I'm not going for it and stuff. I mean, and we'll get into that later
because there was
a little bit of, you know, run and gun and what the young coach is doing. But, you know, they didn't look awake to me. They look like the next time you play them, they're going to be a little better than that. I mean, that was a sub effort for them. For the fact that we're making fun of them and our defense kicked their ass and they had to get on 6 hours on a plane back, it speaks to me of all we talked about. West Coast team, 10 in the morning, very young quarterback, young coach, like all of that. This looked like a team of pedigree on the field. And you talk about Josh Bynes and guys that are senior citizens in the league, and they kept focusing on Calais Campbell. But I look at Lamar Jackson and say he's not a rookie anymore, and Mark Andrews in Hollywood. This isn't a young team anymore. This is a team that's playoff tested now. They've lost a couple. They've won one, right? Now they come back into this thing, and it's how are we going to get home field advantage? How are we not going to roll over at home against a 4-1 team coming in here? This was a hell of a character builder for me. I called them in the second quarter, Luke, a Super Bowl contender. That's what I called them. And I don't call Ravens teams Super Bowl contenders in October. They're one of the best teams in football now, and I think they went out and proved it on the field on Sunday.
I think you're right. And I think as much as there was hype for this game, and look, I thought it too. I picked the Chargers to win at 34-31. I thought it was going to be a shootout, very similar to what we saw with Cleveland and the Chargers last week. But in a game that was anticipated and billed as being two AFC heavyweights, you know, at least young heavyweights, let's say, the Ravens looked like the super heavyweight, and the Chargers looked like a sparring partner at best. I mean, they didn't answer the bell, and you know how much of that was, you know, the East Coast 1 o'clock start. You know, I'm sure that factored into some degree, but at the same time, I don't think that was all of it, because I think the Ravens had a great game plan, and Justin Herbert, as fantastic as he has been from day one, walking into their starting lineup in week two of his rookie year. You know, he hasn't necessarily seen a Wink Martindale defense that is going to use deception and bring pressure and use simulated pressure and show you man look, man coverage look, and drop into zone and vice versa, and just do all the different things that they like to do, especially against a young quarterback. I think Justin Herbert, you know, and I'd even say take it a step further. I mean, you talked about their team in general. I'm guessing the next time the Ravens run into Justin Herbert, whether it's in January this year, next year, whatever it is, he'll probably won't be quite as deer in a headlight looking. But again, it's a testament to the game plan the Ravens put together and the performance they had. You don't want to just make it all about the chart, West Coast team coming east. I think that was part of it, but I think you just give the Ravens a lot of credit. They were very well prepared, and they absolutely not just handled this offense, they absolutely dominated them.
Well, it's not often you have a quarterback on the other side that will step up into a press conference and say, they showed me stuff I've never seen. They did different stuff. That's a real tip of the cap to Wink Martindale, to put that together, to say, we're going to show stuff we've never shown. We're going to confuse the hell out of this young kid. He's coming in here. You know, we're going to make them look bad. And they did all day long, over and over and over again. Yeah. I mean, you talk about the 6 points they got. I mean, that's just Lamar with the worst pass of his career. I don't know that I've ever seen him throw a pass that bad. That was that not really to anyone. He just didn't see that. He didn't see the guy underneath at all. And yeah, other than that, it is a shutout. And we probably are talking about this in a different kind of term.
Yeah. I mean, and look, I mean, 6 points as opposed to a shutout. I mean, I have no problem calling this easily one of the best games of at least the Wink Martindale era, as far as their defense. I mean, this was fantastic. I mean, like I said, Cleveland scored 42 points against this team a week ago and lost. And again, I'm not getting into Ravens compared to the Browns. It just shows that that's a hell of a lot of offensive firepower that they have that was completely stymied on Sunday. So as much as we've talked about the defense and missing Marcus Peters and other guys being in and out of the lineup, I mean, they played a hell of a football game. And we've seen the offense do what they've done. We've seen the passing game do what it's done, and you're excited about that in a big picture sense, because it looks a little, that part of it's looked a little bit different than the last couple of years, in the sense that if they need to go out there and throw 40 times, because that's what the matchup dictates, because you're facing a better run defense that's really trying to take away your run, as we saw Indianapolis do, as we saw Denver do the week before, then you throw it and you throw it really well. And they did that. So great. That in a big picture sense, that's exciting. In the same way, seeing this defense shut down such a high-powered offense to this degree, boy, that gives you confidence going up against anyone, whether you're playing at home, whether you're going on the road later in the season. And they're going to have some big tests. I mean, you mentioned what's coming up. You know, obviously, they have Cincinnati, who, by the way, is better. The Bengals won once again, and certainly not going to pick the Bengals to beat the Ravens next week, but certainly a game you need to go out and play well. Can't start slow, as we've seen them do in some other games earlier this season. But you do look at that run. They get to the end of November, Cleveland at Pittsburgh. I get it. It's the Steelers, but it's still at Heinz Field, at Cleveland, Green Bay, who, by the way, everyone left them for dead in week one, and look at how they've played since then.
I don't know if you know or not, but he owns Chicago.
He does. I've heard that
on Sunday or not. Yeah,
I've heard that. But you have Green Bay at home, at Cincinnati. Who knows what the Bengals are going to look like at that point? considering they already look better in October than they have the last couple years. And then you have the Rams coming in week 17, which is now the penultimate week of the regular season.
By the way, that's the swap off. I was wondering, like, how are the Browns playing the Cardinals? I'm like, yeah, we're not playing that division. I'm like, oh, that's the extra game. They're playing it now. The Cardinals were impressive and the Browns really weren't.
Yeah. And there you go. Entering the season, you're thinking, oh, wow, the Ravens, tough draw there. They have the Rams, whereas the Browns get the Cardinals. Well, the Cardinals look really, really good as well. I mean, you have to give them a lot of credit. I mean, NFC hierarchy, they're right there at the top at this point in time. So you know, they have some, they're going to be facing some tough teams later in the season, some good offenses later in the season. But you do this against the Chargers, that tells me you have the capability. Doesn't mean you're going to give up 6 points every week. I mean, let's be realistic. It's 2021. It's not 2000 anymore in terms of offense in the NFL. But it shows you have the capability of doing that. And that, once again, in a big picture sense, it's showing a ceiling, potential ceiling for this football team that is incredibly complete and very, very difficult to beat. So I just think it was a great performance, great win, and a great confidence builder for a defense that I think needed some confidence. I think what we saw even last week in victory wasn't exactly the defense getting stops. It was a kicker who couldn't make kicks at the end of the game. Indianapolis moved the ball until the very end. So I think this is a defense that needed a confidence boost, and boy, they got it in emphatic fashion on Sunday. That's for sure.
All three phases of the game coming together in the Ravens' victory over the Bolts. Luke Jones will be in Owings Mills all week long. All of it brought to you by Royal Farms. Real fresh, real fast. The WNST Tech Service is powered up by our friends at Coons Ford. Dennis Colatsos will be here on Thursday from 3 until 5. Sign up for that. You get the injuries. You get the news. You get all the news that is fit to print. It's all brought to you by Coons Ford of Security Boulevard. I am going to try the Maryland Crab Cake Tour again on Friday at Nick's Grandstand Grill. If I don't have back fusion surgery by the end of the week, big thanks to Dr. Steve Elliott and a lot of people that have come forth to kind of help out and pitch in around here. I am Nestor. He is Luke. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.